peoples. So when Rob first asked me about this sermon subject, I was initially going to decline because the first thing that came to my mind was, well, shucks, that's easy. But it would make for a pretty trite sermon. Why do I say trite? Because I see God everywhere. So I'm always seeing him off the beaten path. In today's Old Testament reading, we hear the story of the Israelites discovering God off the beaten path. You might say they, with Moses as their guide, had one of the ultimate experiences. Moses kicked it all off when he, in Exodus 3:1-6, meets God face to face, so to speak, in the burning bush. This finding of God off the beaten path eventually leads us to today's reading, where the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai, and Moses again meeting with our Lord. Only now all the tribes of Israel know too that God is there and God is with them. In Exodus 19:9, which in retrospect I probably should have included, God tells Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. We can be like Moses. We may not find a burning bush or a dense cloud, but if we listen, and especially when we take the time to earnestly talk with God, not to, with, we too can find God. Find faith off the beaten path. In our New Testament reading, Luke 24:13-32, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. This is a suburb of Jerusalem, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, so not exactly on the beaten path. We don't know if they were disciples or merely witnesses to what transpired with our Lord Jesus. We do know that one of them was named Cleopas, and that he did most of the talking with Jesus. We also know that later, when they discovered with whom they were walking and eventually supping, they immediately got up and took off to spread the word that Jesus lived. We too know that Jesus lives. And like the men off the beaten path in that burb Emmaus, we too can share and must share that good news that Jesus lives. That God's not dead, he's surely alive. The New Testament is replete with people finding God, finding faith off the beaten path. In Acts 9, we see a man whom was a persecutor of the followers of Jesus Christ. This man, an unsavory character in any story, experiences the ultimate in finding God off the beaten path. If you are not familiar with the conversion of Saul to Paul, I encourage you to read the story of Saul's conversion. Paul eventually became the author of 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Pretty good for just a pathway meeting with Jesus, huh? All right, it's confession time. When Tina and I were first married, I wasn't much of a churchgoer. A couple reasons for that. One, I wasn't much of a fan of organized religion. And two, the Matthew 18:20 thing kind of worked for me. You know, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. By that time in my life, I had attended Catholic, Methodist, and Baptist churches. In fact, my first real recollection of God and I getting up close and personal was when I received my full immersion baptism in the Baptist church that my then girlfriend attended. Yes, that experience was truly a big moment for me, and I have never forgotten it. Still, after that experience, I suppose my youthful exuberance had something to do with my falling out of church attendance. I did continue Bible study, though, and in fact met my middle brother's future wife in a Bible study in Korea. But that's a story for another time. Ask me about that sometime if you're curious. With Tina's urging, I returned to church and we started out attending East North Broadway United Methodist Church. It was so big, and it had three services. We moved to Gehenna and found Stony Brook. And then finally here. One thing that has never changed in that time is my abiding faith and belief in our God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I've told several folks, including Pastor Brian, when we would have our discussions, that my faith was so strong, it borders on knowing, not believing. So here comes the off-the-beaten part, the path part for me. I see God everywhere, not just in churches and synagogues. I see Him in the smallest things. I see Him in DNA. Consider this miracle strand of this thing called DNA. 3 billion bits of information that make up the program that is you. Most of you know I do computer networks for a living. What you may not know is I'm a classically trained programmer. I discovered I truly disliked programming, and so I went to the network and server direction. Here's the point. A computer, in other words, you, can't do a darn thing without a program, and actually a whole series of programs. Not one computer ever wrote their own program. The same is true of you and your DNA. Do you really, really believe that some cosmic accident caused 3 billion bits of information to just fall into alignment to perfectly create you? If you don't, you would be in good company. Noted British philosopher Dr. Anthony Flew was a prominent, very, very prominent atheist. With the discovery of DNA and the scientific discovery since then, he has become a believer. In a December 2004 video interview, he said, "Superintelligence is the only good explanation for the origin of life and the complexity of nature." And what's really amazing is you don't have just one strand of DNA, but literally one in every cell of your body. Trillions. An estimated 3 trillion cells. Trillions of strands of DNA in every living thing, not just us. A cosmic accident? I don't think so. This has gotten kind of long, so I'll tell you some of the things that made me think this would be a trite topic for a sermon. I see God in a flower. I see God in the bee that takes the pollen from the flower to the perfectly symmetrical hive and turns it into honey. I see God in the intricate details of a leaf with tiny veins that would look much like ours if we could see ours as easily as we see them in the leaf. I see God in a conch shell, which when opened reveals an intricate pattern we call the Fibonacci sequence. And there are so many other places in nature that display that wondrous sequence. I see God everywhere, and you can too. The next time you look at a flower, or a leaf, or a seashell, look close, you'll see God. I see God in our church, for we are pilgrims. We went off the beaten path to find God, to find our faith in our way. And finally, not so trite, I see God in every one of you. For we are all pilgrims, and we certainly looked for and found God, found our faith off the beaten path.
Thanks so much, Bill. That was really encouraging. And I especially love those extra examples of not only things in nature that we can go around and walk and see for ourselves, but also the grasp of science and the scope of what goes on in the world around us that you reminded us give us all of those clues of how we see God. And I know for some of us, those things are exciting and encouraging of our face and help us know God all the time. And for some of us, we may have seasons where it's harder for us to see how God is with us. But having those reminders of those things that we can look for, those voices that we can hear that give us that encouragement with their knowledge and experience, hopefully helps us feel God that much closer when we feel a little bit disconnected.